Right now I'm joined by Rachel Donald of Spider Tracks. And some people might not have heard of Spider Tracks, so what is it?
Well, Michael, Spider Tracks is a satellite-based tracking system. So we use the Iridium network and a GPS and a little box that sits in your aircraft, and that's sending out your lat, long, speed, altitude and direction every 2 minutes up through Iridium and down to our website. So basically people know where you are, so they know you're safe, that you're flying along safely, they know what time you're going to get to your destination, what time you're going to be home for dinner.
So it's a tracking system for your airplane, and how big is this tracking system? I mean, and what does it take to install in your airplane? It sounds really complicated.
Well, it's not, actually. It's about the size of, well, you know, to be on PC, you know, a cigarette packet, basically, and it just sits there on your dash, and you plug it in using an auxiliary power plug, so into the cigarette lighter, and that's it. That's your install. You can just slap it on the dash and plug her in, and away you go. So it's really simple, and because it's pilot carry-on equipment, there's no need for any certification, STCs. It's all just plug and go.
Okay, and so it's very useful for tracking, obviously, but you also market it as a safety device also, don't you?
Sure do. I mean, for us, it's all about saving pilots' lives. The faster you can get to an accident site, the more likelihood that you're going to be able to, you know, rescue the pilot and the crew. So with us, it's all about emergency alerting and notifying when, if no one thinks they're ever going to have an accident. That's the main thing. Of course, you know, no one wants to go out there thinking that. However, in the if that was to happen, then you want to know that you're going to be found fast. So what we do is we have the website is actively monitoring each flight, and it's waiting for those position points to arrive at the server. And if it loses contact with the aircraft, because it's powered by the aircraft power, so if there's an accident and the aircraft loses power, the little box, the spider in the aircraft, it stops transmitting. And if it stops transmitting, then the website will automatically send out SOS alerts to your friends and family, rescue services, to say, hey, we've lost contact with this aircraft. This is its lat long. This is what speed it was going the last time we heard from it. And you can get rescue services out there really quickly to the site because you know exactly where it is. And the great thing about it compared to an ELT, for example, is it's not reliant on the box in the aircraft surviving the crash because it's the website that sends out the SOS. And that's a big difference against an ELT. And one of the major criticisms of that sort of technology is that often an ELT won't go off because it's damaged in the crash.
So this will alert the people to come to your exact location. And I know there's been a few crashes of people where, you know, they survived long enough where if they would have had somebody get there, they might have lived. But unfortunately, they weren't found for sometimes days, weeks, months, or years.
And how tragic is that? I mean, that's, you know, it's not good enough. And, you know, that's our stance on it, is that the regulators need to be looking at this new emerging technology. It's been around for a number of years now. And what we're actually seeing, which is really interesting, is that some government agencies are actually making calls and saying, if you're carrying our stuff, for example, the Department of Interior up in Alaska brought out a mandate change that said any Part 135 operator that's carrying Department of Interior staff, so that's Park Service, Land Management, you must carry a tracking system on board. You know, we don't care about ELTs so much, but you must have a tracking system because they have had a couple of incidences up in Alaska where an aircraft's gone down, the 406 hasn't worked, and the people haven't been found. And that's tragic. It's not good enough.
Right. And this will show you exactly where it is. Now, what happens if that box accidentally gets unplugged in flight?
Well, it will alert, but you can, the lights all go out and it's sitting up there on the dash right in front of the pilot's eyes. So if the pilot notices that all the little flashing lights all go out, then all he, you know, has to do is plug it back in. So the emergency alert, the automatic alert, doesn't occur for about 5 minutes. So you've got 5 minutes to recognize that you've lost power and, yeah, plug it back in again. The other great thing about Spider Tracks is it also does a bit of communication as well. So, for example, it will automatically send out a text or an email when you take off and when you land safely. So if you would usually ring someone to say, hey, I'm here, come get me, you don't have to do that. And that goes out by satellite. So if you're outside of radio or cell phone coverage, the system will automatically send out that text or email, and so you know that you can communicate with people from wherever you are on the globe, and they're going to get that message.
All right. Well, what is the cost of a device like this, and how does it compare to the cost of the traditional technologies of a 406 transponder?
Well, it's quite a bit cheaper, and particularly if you come see us on stand 313 in Hangar C today, we're actually selling it for just $595. So it's normally $995. So we've got a really good show special, and our idea is that we just want as many pilots to be able to afford this and get this technology. I mean, it's going, you know, it might save their life. So compared to it, it's less expensive than the new 406s by a long way, and particularly, you know, 406s with GPS. So you know, we think it's a really affordable way for pilots to invest in their safety and the peace of mind for their friends and family.
Absolutely. And now, are there any additional fees that go along with this for the actual service of that?
Yes, there is. And so because we use the Iridium network, we have these plans that are a bit like a cell phone plan. So you determine, you know, roughly how many hours you fly a year, how many hours you fly a month, and it starts at $10 a month and works out about $2 per flying hour. So, you know, roughly if you fly 100 hours a year, then it's going to cost you $200.
So, a relatively cheap insurance policy.
Well, if you think about $2 per hour, that's cheaper than a decent cup of coffee, and, you know, it might save your life. So, you know, as far as that's concerned, it should be a good investment.
Plus, it gives you lots of the other tools of telling people where you are and whatever. And if you're an important person and you need people to know where you are, and so if there's a problem, they can find you, that gives you a good communication system.
Well, absolutely. And not just if you're an important person, because you're probably fairly important to your friends and family as
everybody's
well.
Everybody's an important
exactly.
person.
And, you know, for $2 per hour, it's, you know, affordable by everyone. Well, we think, we hope.
And now, regulatory, is this a something you can use instead of a 406 transponder?
Not at the moment, but we're working on it. And what we're seeing is that, say, for example, Transport Canada is recognizing this new technology, and they've written some legislation that may allow for equivalent technologies to ELTs. And as I say, what we're seeing is that government organizations are kind of working around what the FAA, they're saying, well, we can't wait for the FAA to make up their mind. We're going to recommend these. National Transportation Safety Board just the other day came out with a recommendation that airborne law enforcement carry tracking systems. So what we're seeing is this movement towards other agencies recognizing the benefits of it and making these recommendations, or in the case of the Department of Interior, actually saying you must have one. And so I think that there is definitely a movement afoot. And the big question is, what does this mean for GA? What does it mean for private pilots? What's going to happen there? And, you know, I think pilots should be given the choice about what sort of system that they want to put in their aircraft. And where possible, they're probably going to choose one that's going to give them benefits as they go along, and not just if they were to have an accident.
Now, with this device, is there any other countries that do allow this instead of a transponder?
Not at the moment, but there's only a couple of countries that have actually mandated 406s to date. So New Zealand is one of them, where Spidertrax comes from. But the New Zealand Civil Aviation Authority, the same as the FAA, they encourage the use of tracking systems. So, you know, what we're seeing is, and I think that's why organisations like FAA and Transport Canada haven't yet come out and mandated 406s, even though it's been talked about for a long time, mm-hmm. because we're seeing, first of all, 406s not going off in some accidents, and that's putting a lot of pressure on the agencies. You know, they're getting a lot of pressure to look at other technologies, and also because it's relatively new, so it takes bureaucracy a wee while to get their head around the idea of a new technology and how it might work.
Now, you said this device is a portable device, so if you're flying on multiple aircraft, can you take that into multiple aircraft as you fly them?
Sure can. So you can move it between aircraft as you need it. And look, if you're if you've got a partnership in an aircraft, you can share it amongst the pilots. So it can not only be shared between the aircraft, but also between pilots. The other big part of the system, which I really need to mention, is probably the website. So that's while you've got this little box that sits in your aircraft, it's actually the website that people interact with. That's where your family is going to go online and see where you are. And that's a great thing. It's controlled just by you. So not everyone can see it. It's a personal radar system. Now, on that website, it will automatically keep your logbook for you, because we know when, well, we don't know, the system knows when you take off and when you landed and when you flew, how long you flew for and the distance you flew for and max altitude and your average speed and all of that information. And the website, it calculates all of that for you and enters all of that information and keeps that as a permanent record. And then you can go back in there and you can add notes about where you went and who you went with and upload photos, keep some records for your aircraft, how many hours it's been doing since it's had its fighter tracks on board. So it's a great way of keeping keeping up your logbook without actually having to do any work yourself.
Right, you just have to tell it which airplane you were in.
Well,
you have multiple airplanes.
Exactly, and right. You know, that's just as simple as clicking on a drop-down menu. So it's a really simple thing. If you're going to move it between your aircraft before you go out for a fly, you just click on the drop-down menu and say, I'm going to be in this, you know, I'm taking my helicopter out today, and last week it was my fixed wing. So, you know, it's a really, really simple process of keeping that. And for a lot of people who might be a little bit slack at keeping their logbooks, it's a great way of keeping good records of what you've been up to.
Now, have you had any, nobody wants this thing to go off, but have you had any people using them where it has gone off and helped them out?
Sure have, yeah. We have had a couple of instances where there have been injuries and death, and the system has worked as it's supposed to and has alerted. In both cases that I'm thinking of, they were actually commercial operators, and so what was able to be happen was the operation manager was alerted within minutes of the incident, and they were able to put in place their normal safety procedure that they would, their internal operational procedure, alert, search and rescue, and get them out there really quickly. And they've said how invaluable it is, because it just meant that they knew immediately that there was an accident, and they didn't have to wait until the pilot was overdue. They didn't have to wait until the flight was due back. They knew immediately and were able to get search and rescue out there and find them, go straight to the site. So, you know, for them it was, they think it's a great tool.
Now, in those cases, did they have some other means of an ELT, either 121.5 or 406 on board?
They did. In that particular incident I'm thinking about in Australia, they did, and it didn't go off. And the pilot was injured but not incapacitated, so potentially could have hopped on a cell phone and called. I mean, that would have been the other option available to him, but he didn't. The system went into place. So, his pilot was unfortunately killed in that particular accident. So, we don't like to talk about it, but we know there's been multiple, there's been many, many small incidences where pilots have put down and they've been out of cell phone and radio coverage, and they've been able to call in assistance through the system because they couldn't use their cell phone. And if you put down lightly too, your ELT's not going to go off, unless you trigger it.
Right. And a lot of people don't really understand the implications that ELTs really not be, or the 125 ELT is not being monitored anymore.
That's right.
And that's makes it a lot harder for anybody to actually find you if something goes on. They rely on pilots to monitor the 121.5 frequency, and if they hear something, they just try and coordinate and figure out where is the signal coming from.
And it's needle in a haystack stuff, because you're trying to, you're finding a non-dedicated signal, if you know. You know, it's not easy to find out where that's coming from, right? And the 406s are better that way, but as long as you've got the GPS hooked into it,
right.
They're far better. And they don't go off as often as the 121.5. So the new 406s have taken care of the false alerting problem to a large extent. But here in the US, the data shows that ELTs fail to operate in 75% of accidents. So they only go off a quarter of the time. And the reasons why they fail to go off is because of fire and submersion. So in the data where it's been noted why they didn't go off, the reasons are fire and submersion, antennas breaking. So all of those things are going to affect the 406s in just the same way as the 121.5s. If you end up in the water, it's not going to go off. So these are the same issues, and we've seen that in New Zealand too.
Yeah, and that's a huge failure rate. I mean, one out of four times, it's not going to go off. And again, no one plans for an accident. You never say, hey, I'm going to have an accident today. But that's the point. You want these systems in place just in case the worst would happen.
That's right. And a lot of people say, oh, I don't want my wife to know where I am, or something, you know, silly like that. But at the end of the day, if they're hanging upside down in a tree, you know, can't trigger the can't trigger the manual SOS on the spider, can't hit the ELT, they're going to be really glad that they've got that spider tracks on board and they've got it on automatic SOS alerting. So, you know, they know that that SOS is going to go out and they can be found.
Now, how long have you had this product?
We've been around since 2005, and the majority of our customers to date are in the commercial sector. So we've focused on fleet operators, commercial operators, tourism type, Part 135 type operators. And this time last year, we launched our S3 unit, which is our smaller and less expensive unit, into the market at that $1,000 price. And we've been going really well since we've been in the general aviation market. And because we're the least expensive Iridium satellite-based tracking system on the market, and in aviation, you've really got to have Iridium. You've got to know that you're going to be seen everywhere. You can't, you know, there are, Spots is a great product for hiking and tramping, but, you know, it doesn't give you global coverage, it doesn't give you real-time tracking, and it doesn't even track altitude. So, you know, it's not a lot of help to you, but it's better than nothing.
Right.
Whereas we're a dedicated aviation product.
Right. Now, and you said it's $1,000, but you've got the show special for how much?
$595. $400 off.
And how long is that special good for?
Today and tomorrow.
Today and tomorrow. Oh, so people better hurry. And can they get that same price on your website?
No, they cannot. They have,
oh,
to, be
so they have to be here.
They have to be here. But if they were to contact us in the next day or so, they could just go to the website and email us and say, oh, I heard about that special on EAA Radio. Then we'd give them the deal.
That's awfully nice of you. And if people are here on the field, where could they come find you to talk to you more about this product and maybe take a look at it?
Well, we're in Hangar C, and we're in booth 3133, which is just under the big C sign in Hangar C.
All right. Well, we wish you the best of luck with that. We appreciate you coming in. This has been Rachel Donald with Spider Tracks, and I'm Wireless Mike, and you're listening to EAA Radio.